anything free. That is awesome news, Miss Sue. That is awesome news. God is faithful to this house. Amen. People coming off of the last breath, if you will, on a dying bed to being free of cancer for a year, promotions. And I know there's some other great things happening in the house. And we just thank the Lord. Well, tonight is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, right now at sundown. And it'll go into, some people celebrate it more than a day. Some just go one day. Some go all the way into Friday. But it is the head of the year. Amen. And we're living in some wild times, as you all know that. But I just wanted to say Happy New Year on the Jewish calendar and for the state of Israel and those different things. Amen. And this begins the 10 days up until Yom Kippur of repentance, according to their celebration, their feast, and for us as well. We need to be very mindful of the hour, as we've been preaching so hard from this pulpit. We didn't just get here. We've been doing this a long time. But it ends up being on the 30th of this month. And so, as you remember, we were talking about on What's Next Prophecy Conference, you know, the 40 days of repentance. And that ends when? September 30th, Yom Kippur, which is a day of repentance and a day of atonement, really, is what it is. So I just want to say that. And that's why we blew the shofar. If you're wondering why I did that, was to announce to the world and announce to this church that we're beginning a new year. And by the way, just a few announcements. I will be going off to pray during that Yom Kippur season. So I ask for your prayers for me, that I would hear clearly what the Lord is saying for 2018. And by the way, we will see each other on the 24th, because we ain't going nowhere on the 23rd, like a lot of people think we are. Amen. The world's not going to end. Amen. It's going to seem like it. It's going to seem like it for a lot of people. Also, Friday, this Friday at 6:30, we have our prep class that we're going to do, survival class at 6:30. So we're inviting everybody to come out. It will be videotaped. And for those that are listening to me right now, we're going to see how it goes, whether we release that or not, or go another session to see if we can make it better or whatever. So there's a reason why we're not going to do it live, because me and Christina, we just need to make sure we do a good job. And it's going to have a lot of information. And let me just say this. It's not going to be the total information, because there's just no way to get all this information to you. I've been doing this for many years, and I still find new things out, and it just gets bigger and bigger and compounds and compounds. So don't come in Friday thinking, man, we're going to get everything we need, but you will get a lot that you need, and it'll be a seed that'll help grow. And then we'll even take, you know, you have some suggestions, let us know. That's one of the reasons the cookbook is being worked on, that has some remedies in there. There's a lot of things that our grandparents and our parents' parents and people in the Depression and so on and so forth, there were some great ideals that they had, you know, and they made it. They made it before Medicare. They made it before all these different things that took, you know, that are available today. So we need to go back to some of those basics. Amen. And especially before it's forced upon us, at least we'll have an understanding ahead of time. So Friday, this Friday, 6:30, right here at Ignited, we should be done. Can you give me maybe 8:15-ish? Okay, then I'll take 8:30. Cool. If you're going to give me half, let me just go all the way. So maybe about 8:15, 8:30, okay? And if you got to cut out, that is cool. All right? So that is all my announcements, I think. Oh, by the way, next week we're going to have these two bathrooms painted, so they'll be ready. The floors will be ready next Sunday, hopefully. We'll get a fan on them and all that good stuff. And then we have some projects getting ready for the new building. I was over there working the other day and getting some ideals and some other stuff. So I'm pumped up. I am ready to go over there and make this academy and this daycare thing go. Is that all right? And also our warehouse. Got a lot of great plans for the warehouse coming up. All right. Well, Father, I love you. Just thank you for all you're doing. Hide me tonight behind the shadow of the cross, and help us to declare these truths tonight. Father, my heart is heavy for this world and for this nation, Lord God. I believe that we are entering into very times of crisis and calamity, things that are just going to really shock the world. And I pray, Father God, that we as a people would prepare. And one of the things I believe you're speaking to my heart is to prepare the right message. The right message, because people have a lot of questions right now. They have a lot of questions of why God, why this, and why now. And I pray through this teaching, Father, through the teaching of intercession, we'd have the right answers that are based not on opinions, but are based on Scripture, so that we may give you the most praise, honor, and glory. Father, we love you, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we've been talking about prayer and the prayer of intercession. I am so glad that Rosie and Loopy came all the way from Nebraska for a Wednesday night service. That's awesome. When some people can't get to the house of God right down the road. I had to use that. That was pretty good. Amen. But we're so glad that they're here with us again. Well, we've been talking about the prayer of intercession. I hope it has blessed you and increased your prayer life. I don't know about you, but I've been praying more now than I have ever in my life, I think. You know, just the unction of God, just what's going on this planet and what's happening around us. And every time I see, you know, what's taking place in Mexico, my heart just grieves. And I think about those young children they're still trying to find, and others. And you know, it's not business as usual, and it should never be business as usual for people of compassion. And my heart just goes out. I know yours does too. I know you've been praying and feeling the same weight. As we sit here with power on, the entire nation of Puerto Rico has no power. The entire nation has no power. And we just need to thank God for what he's doing in our lives and giving us the ability to pray for others. Amen. So anyways, I just had to mention how I feel about that. The prayer of intercession, last time we got together, I talked about your prayers will flow through your heart and passions. You remember that? Your prayers will flow through your heart and passions. In other words, what moves you internally will drive you to prayer. Again, I don't know how anybody can't pray for the world right now. I don't know how anybody can't intercede. I don't know how anybody can see what is on television or look on the internet or look on your newspaper and not be driven with some type of compassion for what's taking place. And that's what prayer does. It flows through your heart. And if you don't have a heart after God and heart after people and have compassion, then you're not going to be an intercessor. You're just not going to pray because you won't really care. So I gave you a little word there, prayer connection. I'm going to give you another one tonight, but prayer connection. Remember that. We have to have a connection with people that we pray for. There's a prayer connection. We must be connected to the heart of God. We must be connected to the suffering of people. That's how you become a intercessor, a person of prayer. We talked about Moses, and I gave you various examples and different scriptures, Exodus chapter 2, Acts chapter 7, that you could find what took place with Moses. And then we went into Exodus 32, where Israel turned itself away from God and began to worship a false idol, and then how that God needed Moses to intercede. See, God needs us to intercede. I believe that every child and every person they find in that rubble in Mexico City is due to the prayers of the saints. Come on now. Every person that makes it through these hours of trials and tribulations and testings are going to be because you've prayed, or it's going to be because you asked God to cover. Amen. And one of the things that I want us to recognize and realize is even though we're in a time of judgment, we're supposed to be compassionate and love the people no matter who they are and what's taking place. Romans 9:3, remember that? We talked about the depth of identification, how that Paul, he identified with Israel, he identified with Jews, he identified with his brethren, people around him, and he said, man, if it were possible, which he knew that it wasn't, but His heart was still sincere. He said, man, if I can be accursed, let me be accursed. Let me be separated from God so that you could go to heaven. That's powerful. Let me try that again. That is powerful. And we should be willing to say, God, if I have to be removed from my comfort to go help somebody, if I have to turn off the television to go intercede or cancel a dinner meal with somebody or a dinner engagement, whatever it may be, or an activity somewhere, let me do it. Let me go in my closet and let me pray. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to find we're going to be driven to that position even greater than we are right now. Okay? So that was last time we got together, different scriptures, 1 Corinthians 9 and so on and so forth. All right, so the prayer of intercession for tonight, let me give you some key statements that I'm going to stand on and preach on and teach on and build upon. Prayer is the key that opens the door to the kingdom of God for the world to enter. Prayer is the key. Intercessory prayer, you can put that on the side, is the key that opens the door to the kingdom for the world to enter. You know, I used Cindy's testimony. I wanted her to testify because, you know, in that testimony, if you heard her, she said, I was praying, how can I speak to these people? How can I get to these people? And in her mind, she's not thinking about a room full. She's thinking about individually, as we all do. We think one-on-one evangelism. You know, can I put a track in their purse? What can I do? But all of a sudden, crisis comes up. Chaos begins to ensue, and people begin to find out they don't have the answer. They're not as smart as they thought they were. And that's what's taking place in this country and will continue to take place in this country and around the world. People are going to begin to realize they cannot control their environment. If you watch the videos of those in Mexico and other places, but just specifically there, people were in shock. Did you watch it? They were in shock. They saw the buildings and then they couldn't move. They were paralyzed and then it fell. And then they realized, this is really happening to me. And people were screaming, and you could hear them in Spanish, you know, crying out to God, to Jesus, and so on and so forth. And people, when they have no other answer, they cry out to God. So this is our opportunity to be a witness. But watch this. Prayer is the key that opens the door for the kingdom, or to the kingdom, for the world to enter. We're praying. We're interceding for the nations of the earth. I don't care how God has to do it. Shake man. Let me try that again. I don't care what God has to do, shake man. Whatever he must do, shake man so man will wake up and find out that Jesus is the only way. Come on now, he's compassionate, and he sends a preacher, he sends an evangelist, he sends somebody, and he tries to witness, and he tries to convince and convict. But there comes a time where God has to begin to shake people to get them to wake up. How many of y'all have been shaken before? You can hear my brains rattled. I've been shaking so bad by the things of God. In order for God to get me to where I need to be. I thank God for the shaking in my life. Because I would be in hell today. There's no doubt about it. But he made a way. So that's what prayer does. Prayer, it's the key that opens the door to the kingdom for the world to enter. When we intercede, watch this. When we intercede, we create an invitation for those we're praying for. Watch. When we intercede, we create an invitation for those we're praying for. We create access for those whom the Father has already promised, come unto me. Let me give it to you again, real slow. When we intercede, not if, but when we intercede, we create an invitation for those we are praying for. We create access for those whom the Father has already promised, come unto me. Do you see that? It's already written in the Word, come unto me, ye that are heavy burdened, you that are laden, you that have troubles, you that have sorrows. He said, come into me. Come on. Didn't he? He said, I'm here. I'm available. Knock and I'll answer. Seek and all those things. Ask. He said, I'm available always. Call unto me. But if nobody's praying for that person, then how does that invitation come to them? You see that? Well, somebody will go do it. Well, maybe somebody won't do it. Do you know there's people in America today who have never heard that Jesus loves them? Remember, we're the melting pot of the world. We have all kinds of cultures in this country. And you may be living next to somebody, believe it or not, in the Bible Belt, right here in the buckle. We're in the buckle here in Georgia. That don't even know the name of Jesus. But when we begin to intercede, when we begin to pray, we create an invitation. The invitation was already there, but we create a way for them. We begin to break the powers of principalities and powers. We begin to break the power of the demonic strongholds and cultural resistance. Do you see that? So, when we intercede, we create an invitation for those we are praying for. We create access for those whom the Father has already promised, come unto me. That's a very powerful statement the Holy Spirit spoke to me about. And we really need to catch that. I want you to catch that deep in your spirit. Don't let it just be a wild revelation of the mind. Let it get real deep inside of your spirit to say, man, you know, I really can pray for this person over here, or these people on this cross, or my lost brother, or my lost whatever member, you know, family member, and I can create an invitation for them that God already gave them through Jesus Christ. I'm just causing it to be a reality in their life through intercession. Isn't that powerful? Here's another key word that I like prayer connection, I want you to put prayer access. Prayer access. Just something, a little buzzword, something you can catch and just say, you know, when I pray, man, I'm going to give access to this person. Hey, I believe that. That person that was in a coma on their deathbed, they can't say yes or no. But somebody interceded. Somebody invaded. Somebody went in and caused the suspension of death. So life could continue to be open, and I believe there's going to be a resurrection in that. I believe there's going to be a restoration in that. Do you see how that works? See, we need to pray like never before. Here's a couple more statements, and I'll jump on it. We can pray the acts of Jesus in the same manner as he walked on the earth by the power of his Holy Spirit. We can pray the acts of Jesus in the same manner as he walked on the earth by the power of his Holy Spirit. And then I'll say one more statement, and then I'll break it all down and tell you what I was trying to say about that. See, so many times we pray the word. Remember, you've heard it all your life. Pray the word. Pray the word. Pray the word. But we also need to pray the work of Jesus. Not just the word. Yes, by his stripes you are made whole. But how about praying the works that he did, that he wiped the blinded eyes of blind Bartimaeus? Why can't we say that again? And we say, Jesus, I ask of you by the power of your Holy Spirit, as you walked on the earth, would you wipe the blindness out of that person's eyes? So we always heard it said, you know, pray the word. But I want to introduce something new to you, a new thought. We need to pray the works of Jesus. We need to pray the works that he did, okay? So we can pray the acts of Jesus in the same manner as he walked on the earth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, if Jesus did them then, he can do it now, right? So when we pray, we need to activate that and say, Jesus, you know, raise him from the dead like you did, you know, to so many others. Because you are the resurrection and the life. Remember, he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews chapter 13, is that right? And verse 8. Okay, now go to Matthew chapter 9. We laid that out. Let's go ahead and jump on it with Scripture and go ahead and build this thing up real good and let it be revelation in your heart and not just teaching. I don't want just theology. I want you to take this home with you and practice it. Let me know when you're there. I want you to put as a headline, because this is where we're still at, an identification. Identification, identify, those two words. Just kind of put them somewhere underneath Matthew 9. Hopefully next Wednesday I can switch to the second key, but this is the first key of intercession that I told you I was going to teach on is identification, and I just can't get away from it because we're in an hour where we have to identify with the world. Amen. So Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to begin in verse 1, and then I'm going to jump off of it and get to where I want to go, but this is such a good story. And he entered into a ship, this is verse 1, and passed over, and he came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, faith is tangible, and faith is visible. Isn't that right? Seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say thy sin is forgiven thee, or to say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. I love that because, you know, again, if we're going to intercede, let's pray the acts of Jesus. Let's pray what he did. Let's pray and say, Lord, that person that is full of sickness and disease and malady and malfunction, that person that is unable to move and have different ailments, Jesus, do what you did to this crippled person. Do it now. You see that? I think that changes the dynamics, and it brings us into identification with what's happening as we intercede. Verse 7, and he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. All right, I had to read that. Now, go to verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man. He saw a man. Now, in Luke, it says he saw a publican. But my eyes lit on this because he saw a man. In other words, he perceived. He saw something in someone of value. And his name was Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, we're talking about identification with intercession. Jesus comes up to this guy. He sees him. He perceives. He's fully aware. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And he comes up to Matthew, the gift of God is his name. He comes up to Matthew, but Matthew is a tax collector. I didn't hear y'all shouting and cheering and saying, woo. It would be like Jesus going up to an IRS agent or somebody that took your money, and he comes up to him. And he says, follow me. Now, you would begin to wonder, did Jesus have a bad day of perception? Maybe he just didn't have good discernment going on. You ever looked at something and you rubbed your eyes and you could see it clearly? No, Jesus didn't have any problem whatsoever. Matthew was his target. Matthew was a tax collector. Now, understanding a tax collector in that day is kind of like today, I imagine, but they were considered traitors. Everybody hated them. Even people of foreign countries hated the tax collector because before you can go into the gates of Jerusalem, you had to meet the tax person, and they received tax for Caesar. So they were receiving tax for Rome. And here's Matthew, a Jew, ever being occupied by the Romans. Jesus just freaked out the scribes and all these other Pharisees by healing this man and then giving them the answer with a rebuke. And he gets up and he's healed, the man with the palsy. And he's walking off looking at the Pharisees saying, well, you couldn't do anything. To all of a sudden, he's right here with this tax collector. He sees a man. He sees something of value. And he says, follow me. Now, what I'm leading you into is identification, that Jesus identified with this guy. Jesus had no problem identifying with people that were unlovable. deplorables, the people that nobody wanted to hang out. Don't look at your neighbor. You know who I'm talking about. You don't have to look around. Isn't it great that he hung out with us? I'm so glad that he didn't mind what I looked like, smelled like, or any of those other things. Praise God. Some of y'all had a problem with it, but he didn't. But watch this. So he passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And Matthew had to go back, close out his computer, close the ledger book, call his wife, cancel. No. It says he did what? He followed him immediately. Man, you want to talk about, hey, that may not work for a 2-week notice. I understand that. Remember, you always told if you're going to quit a job, give him a 2-week notice. Matthew quit right there and then. He followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, this is the great setup. This is the great bait, if you will, that Jesus was not just looking for Matthew, but was looking for who Matthew could influence. Jesus was identifying with Matthew because Jesus was identifying with the sinner. Jesus was identifying with the publican, and Jesus was identifying with those that were lost. So it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat. So what happened? Matthew said, come on, let's go to my house. Now, help me with this. Now, this is Jesus. He's you know, he's walking around doing miracles, doing great things. He's the Son of God. And the Pharisees are looking at him. You got to remember, everybody's watching him. They're sitting there, you know, it's PNN, the Pharisaical News Network. I mean, they're everywhere he goes. They're watching him. So here he comes up to the tax collector, says, come on, follow me. The guy drops everything and begins to follow him. And they have a great meal or a great party, if you will, at Matthew's house. So could you picture Jesus being at an IRS convention? Let's be modern term here for a minute. He goes to Matthew's place. Matthew texts everybody. He didn't have text, by the way. So really? How the word got out, I don't know. But here comes everybody from underneath the rocks that Matthew knew. Please, Matthew was being called into the ministry, but he wasn't in the ministry yet. He still has some stuff on him. He still stunk. He still probably had some habits. Is anybody with me, y'all, asleep tonight? He still had some things. He wasn't a disciple yet. And he surely wasn't an apostle. He was a tax collector. He just got hired on by Jesus. And so they said, come on over, let's have this party. Jesus is identifying with Matthew because Jesus is going for a greater cause. This has everything to do with intercession, that we must identify with those outside of these four walls, identify with people that are different than us, identify with people in different stages and levels of life. It doesn't matter what their occupation is. We're supposed to intercede, but the best way and the greatest way is to identify with them. So he's at this house. He's at this party. Behold, many. How many? I don't know. Many. They're coming out of the woodworks, man, everywhere. Tax collectors. I don't know about you. I wouldn't feel very welcome at an IRS party. Come on now. Some of y'all would not like to go to the policeman's ball right now. Some of y'all wouldn't be allowed in the policeman's ball. There's just certain places you and I wouldn't go if we were invited. Is that right? There's just certain people we just, you know, I don't think I want to go to the, never mind. You pick the doctor. You get what I'm saying? Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. So again, we have publicans and then we have sinners. So he's given us two categories to show us that he had no problem identifying with them. He had no problem making his identity with them. This Jesus of the New Testament is so foreign to the religious Jesus that they preach outside these four walls. My Savior has no problem hanging around those that are lost, because you ain't going to be lost too much longer when he's around. Amen. And so he got together with them. Verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Again, this is the ideal and the mindset of the religious people outside this church and other churches, you know, that are just full of dead men's bones and doctrines of devils. They don't want you hanging around those that are lost. They don't want to intercede for those that are lost. They don't want to be identified with their neighborhood. Come on now. There used to be a time the church was the most powerfulest when it was by the railroad track. I'm glad we're by the railroad track. We're a church by the railroad track. But according to denominations and demographics, and I've studied it all in university, they got away from those areas because that's not where the rich folk were. Come on, somebody. That they got away from that area because, you know, your building don't look good with the rest of the buildings around you. You need to go somewhere where it's high class and high cotton and high stepping like everybody else, and then you're going to get the big money in, and you're going to grow. I'm telling you, that's what they teach you in church planting and church growth seminars. I've been to a gazillion of them, and I'm going to tell you, that's not true. You are planted where God puts you. And where he puts you, you prosper. That's how you build the kingdom of God. And you open your doors to whosoever. And you intercede for your city and you pray, God, I want to identify with the drug addict. I want to identify with the person that's on meth right now in some trailer. Y'all ain't helping me. That doesn't have power, has nothing to do with the hurricane. They'd rather smoke it or shoot it than pay a light bill. It's terrible in this community. You all know that. It's bad. It's huge. It's witchcraft. But we have to intercede to make an invitation. We have to intercede for access. We have to identify and say, God, I was once a user. God, I remember my alcoholism. I remember my craziness and my wild days. I remember those things, God, and I don't want them to go to hell either. You didn't let me go to hell, so I don't want them to go to hell. So I pray for them. I identify. Doesn't mean I go hang out with them necessarily, but I'm not going to turn my back on them, and I'm not going to run away from them. I'm going to intercede for them. Jesus knew exactly who he was, that he could go into a den of thieves and not be afraid whatsoever. He wasn't fearful one iota. He had no problem. I'm going to tell you right now, there's some preachers that are scaredy cats. They won't leave the comfort of their pulpit. They won't leave the comfort of their church. They won't leave the comfort of their color. Watch out now. Because color scares them. Because they're not like me. Well, thank God we all ain't like you. I got to have some color. I got to have some diversity. I got to have somebody who knows how to cook something besides grits. Can somebody say collard greens in this house? It's coming that time, isn't it? Y'all better get cooking some collard greens as soon as the fall hits. Amen. Miss Sarah's in the house. She knows how to cook collard greens. Amen. I know how to open up a can of glory. Collard greens. Y'all know about glory in these parts. Glory. Ain't nothing wrong with glory. Why does he always mention food? I have no idea. But watch this. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? You know, people feel that way about you. Why do you invest in the jail ministry? Why do you invest in homeless people? Why do you invest in such and such? And I can't believe you let such and such sit on the front row. I can't believe you let so-and-so inside your church and you made them a leader. Come on now. They were looking at Matthew and they're looking at Jesus. You going to hire this bum? Are you kidding me? You're going to put this guy in charge? This guy here who manipulated and stole money? Do your history research. Study that about the tax collectors. They had to manipulate. They had to steal. They had to cheat, sounds like today. They had to do everything to squeeze money out to please Rome. And here was Jesus. See, we don't understand who the real Jesus is, because we've been taught such a lie over the years, and we've been taught that he's in this you know, in case of emergency, break glass thing, when he was awesome, and he had no problem walking where the religious wouldn't. Verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, boy, his hearing was awesome. You couldn't whisper around him. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, here's the problem with our intercession. Here's our problem with prayer, and here's the problem with church growth, is we're too busy going after those who don't need a physician. We're too busy trying to get the right color, the right kind, the right eco status, this, you know, societal status, the right kind of money. Got to have a doctor in the front of their name and alphabet letters on the back. You got to peek out and see what they drove up in. Was it a Pinto or a Caddy? If it was a Caddy, you're going to treat them different. If it was a Pinto, you're going to show them how to get in the side door. Come on now, you know that about churches. And there are churches that you can't go sit in any chair that you want to. Preaching good tonight on a Wednesday. They that are whole don't need a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus is saying, look, I'm not going after you guys who think you're completely whole and healed and you don't need me. I'm going after those that are sick. And that's the job of the church, man, is to go after people who need a healing, not just physically. There's a lot of there's hearts out there that have been ruined by life. I think that's why we get together so well in this church, because we've all been through stuff. We've all been through hard knocks and hard times. Now watch this. I'm going to get out of your way. But go you and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He says, why don't you go learn something about what I'm telling you about a physician and someone being sick? Why don't you learn about mercy and sacrifice? He said, I'd rather give mercy. I would rather walk in mercy than to have sacrifice. And here it is. Intercession. Identifying with people is an act of mercy. It's an act of mercy, remembering that we once were lost, but now we're found. We once were blind, but now we see. We once were dead, but now we're alive. It's an act of mercy to intercede. You know, so many times when we get saved and born again and delivered, we try to jettison ourselves so far from where we used to be and the people we used to be. And I believe there's a season for that, and I believe that. I believe there's a time that we must separate and be healed and be built up. But when you're strong and you're walking in restorative power, then it's time to intercede for those who are sick and show mercy to those who need mercy, just like you and I did. And so he says, verse 13, but go you and learn what that meaneth. And I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, I use Matthew chapter 9 because I want us to see that we must identify with the sinner out there, that we must identify with those on this cross. We must identify with people in our community. We must intercede and give them that access, that door that opens up for them to enter into the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest things you could ever witness is not just somebody being born again. That's beautiful. But somebody born again, delivered, discipled, and being successful and fruitful. That's a beautiful thing to see. And that's what we need to be aiming for in these last days. So I'm going to close with this statement. He said there, He said to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Remember, call means to invite. And I asked this question. I said, why don't we ask Jesus to do what he's already done? Why don't we ask him to do what he's already done? Jesus, I ask for you to visit those that are hooked on drugs in this community. And I'm doing this through intercession. Now, he may require us to do it too physically, and that's fine. But we're opening the door. We're saying, Jesus, would you go visit the publican and the sinner again? Jesus, would you go minister right now to those that are wayward? Right now, those that are homeless in this community. There's people homeless in Toccoa. There's people homeless all over. Jesus, would you go and do what you did with Matthew? Would you call them? And they will drop everything and follow you. You see, that's the power of identification. It's the power of identifying through intercession. Intercession releases the invitation to come, and it gives access to the door to be open. Heavenly Father, deliver the teaching tonight. I pray that we would allow that to fall deep into our spirit, man, and we would begin to pray and intercede for this community, to intercede for this nation, to intercede for those in our family members and those on this cross, that we would identify with them and we would not be so high and mighty and so holier than thou as many are, that we would not be willing to step down and bend a knee and intercede for those that are lost right now. Father, as I said from the beginning of the service, there are so many people confused right now. They don't know where to go and how to churn and what is the right answer. I pray that as we intercede, you'd give this church a clear message of hope. Father, we love you tonight. Bless us as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, I love you. I'll see you Friday at 6:30 right here. Be blessed.